Let's go to Maria in Carroll Stream, Illinois. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I felt compelled to comment on the last two callers because I certainly can relate to both of them. I'm not an artist or anything. I'm just a simple working class girl. But through my life, I've had, struggles with addiction. And specifically talking about the pot and marijuana, I thought that I had a closer relationship with God. I am a cradle Catholic and always been religious, but when I came into a 12-step program, that's where my spirituality grew. But unfortunately, like Jeff was saying, you do have that evil one that tells you that it's okay to do this. It's no problem or whatever. And I was smoking the pot, and I would feel the closeness to God or whatever. But like you had mentioned, I started being in that fog. And you start getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I didn't have the spiritual experience that Jeff talked about. But basically, I could tell that my higher power, Jesus, telling me, I'm giving you a choice. And I do have that picture that you talk about. Jesus knocking on the door, and there's no knob on it or anything, but he's knocking, and I'm the one that has to open it. And thank God I did make the decision finally to give up pot, because unfortunately I thought I was doing no harm. And
how did you get started on it, Maria? When you first started doing pot, obviously there's a beginning point. Was it high school? Was it friends? Or, how did it start for you?
High school, people going to the lake and stuff, and I was obviously very afraid of it because I was brought up at home. Even though my father, did drink at the house, there was never drugs. But you see your friends doing it, and they say try it, and yeah, you try it, and it's like, oh wow, what a feeling. But it really was not anything that I got into or whatever, because alcohol always was my drug of choice. But as I got older and it seemed more prevalent, and now that, it's legalized, it's like everybody does it. It's like normal.
I don't know how long it's been since you stopped using it, but I've read in news reports that apparently the marijuana that's available now on the streets is much more powerful than the marijuana maybe back in the 70s or 80s. I don't know if that's true, but I've seen that said.
That is
that
absolute,
in your experience?
That is 100% true. It is more potent. It gets you high quicker. And what it is like anything else, when you're seeking that, you want to go to the next level and you want more and more and more, so you're trying different things. So, yes, that is correct.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you weighing in on this issue, Maria. Thank you for that. And I'm glad to hear that things are working well for you. Thanks for the call. I remember vividly, and I write about this incident in one of my books. I think it's Surprised by Truth 2, where I tell my own story. But I remember, I was in a band and we were playing at like a house party. And this was before I was married. So it would have been probably 1980, maybe the summer of 1980 or the summer of 79. And so we were at this party, and it was, drugs everywhere, pot everywhere. It's a wonder to me that the police didn't raid these parties more frequently and just drag people off to jail. But there I was, and I was standing outside getting a breath of fresh air, and there were a group of people standing around, and one pretty girl standing, I think she was to my left or whatever, like a circle of maybe five people, and we're just talking. And they're passing a joint around from one to the next, a roach clip with probably a feather attached to it. And the girl to my left, she hands me the joint, or she goes to hand it to me. And I realized then and there, this is a moment of decision. I am at a crossroads right now, and I have to make a decision right now. That thought just was really clear in my mind. And quite honestly, I had no interest in smoking that, but she was pretty, and I didn't want to look like a doofus, and I didn't want to be like, a dork or whatever. So all these thoughts are going through my mind instantaneously, and I'm thinking, I don't want to look ridiculous in front of these people. So she hands me the joint. She's smiling at me like, go ahead and take it. And I shook my head and I said, no, thanks. And she looked at me with the look like, what a dork. Like, why, why don't you want it? And it just almost like a look of disgust on her face. And she like shrugged and handed it to the next person on the other side of me. And I walked away from that thinking, wow, I dodged a bullet there. But it was really clear in my mind that I was standing at a fork in the road and I would have to go in one direction or the other. And I don't know, was that my guardian angel giving me a little bump there? Maybe, I'm not sure. But I knew that she would have that reaction, and she did have that reaction. And then later on the other side of it, I realized that's not so bad. And ultimately, I don't care what they think. I don't care what this girl thought one way or the other. In the moment, sure, you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be the dork of the group. But in retrospect, I mean, none of them remember me. I'm sure she doesn't remember that, but I remembered it for that reason. So those, I think that's kind of like what Jesus said. And don't worry, I'm not trying to say, hey, look at me, I'm some great example of doing what Jesus said. Certainly in years gone by, I certainly wasn't in some ways, that's for sure. But I do believe that's an example of the little things that Jesus talked about when he said that if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in big things. If you're unfaithful in little things, you'll be unfaithful in big things. So as I look back on that moment at that party with that roach clip in the joint, for me, that was like one of the little things. And so I guess the thing to do is just keep conquering those little things, those little victories, one after the other, after the other. And the more you get in the habit of doing the right thing. And again, I'm not telling you, look at me like I'm an example of this, because I'm not. But those who are, let's look at them and see that by cultivating virtue, which is not natural to you, you know, water runs downhill. It seeks the path of least resistance. And as human beings, we tend to seek the path of least resistance, which usually, if we're left to our own devices, it results in sin. So virtue is doing what you're not used to doing. Virtue is, you know, telling the truth when you'd rather tell a lie, or tell the truth when you're about to tell a lie. Virtue is to look away from that beautiful woman that just walked by you, and your default would be to stop and stare. But you don't. You turn your eyes away. Not because there's anything wrong with her, but because you can go down the road of lust. Virtue is to say, you know, yeah, heck yeah, I'll have another, you know, I'll have another third helping of food, or I'll have, you know, whatever. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not natural to you. It's not your default. But what happens then is over time, like building muscles, that becomes your default. So being honest becomes your default. Where you may for years have to struggle with that, but eventually the virtue of honesty in this case would supplant the weed or the vice of dishonesty, because that just becomes your default. It becomes a stable quality in you, and that's what you'll do. And just use it as an example, if I may. You can compare this to virtuoso musicians, guitarists, keyboard players, what have you. They don't start out that way. They start out sounding as terrible as anyone else who can't play the piano, or as terrible as anyone else who can't play the violin, or what have you. But because they work at it so assiduously, they eventually get to the point where they just naturally, without any effort, they just play beautifully. And that is a good analogy for, I think anyway, for virtue in your life. You probably, like I and many other people, you know, it may not come easy to you, but eventually after a while, it becomes effortless. And it's not that doing that is effortless, but you've become so adept at it that it is effortless to you, because you now have that stable quality in your soul. It's part of you. I love thinking about these things, quite honestly. So I'm really glad you and I are having an opportunity to discuss them. It's good to go into these matters, I think.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.